David, first things, December 10th, 2020. Should I start with the clip?
Let's start with the clip.
Does it stand a chance?
No. No. Some of these cases I've described as press releases with filing fees. I'm not even sure that there was a filing fee in the U.S. Supreme Court for the state of Texas. This was an act of some bizarro world desperation. I don't know what drove it. I don't know if it's politics. I read that it may be because Paxton is fishing for a pardon. I don't know what's behind it, but this is honestly a bizarre lawsuit. The idea that Texas could sue four other states because Texas didn't like their elections. Well, guess what, Texas? There are a whole bunch of states who don't like the way you disenfranchise voters in Texas.
We're in a great place when the presidential election is termed in terms of places in the DC universe. Bizarro world.
We are in a really dangerous, bad, bizarro world. So it'd be kind of fun if we were in a bizarro world where, like, the Funhouse bizarro world, where you go in and you maybe walk into a mirror or to a wall, or you see like your shapes in different ways, but you know it's all not real. You know it's all not real, and you depart from the Funhouse shortly. But unfortunately, this is all very real right now, and it's like the realest real it can get right now. Literally today. Today is the day that the Supreme Court has set for all interventions, or what another word for interventions is, like, engagement with the lawsuit that Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton has brought against four states that Joe Biden won: Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Georgia. Arguing that the election laws in those states were not done and not enacted in a way that accords with the Electors Clause of the U.S. Constitution, which deals with presidential electors and says that legislatures in the states may be the ones that set those laws about how elections are governed. There are now, so I think it's at 3 p.m. Eastern tonight time is when anybody who wants to have a say in this lawsuit is supposed to file their pieces. And so far, 17 states have joined the lawsuit by Texas. 17, all ones that Trump won, all ones with attorneys general who are Republican. Plus, the state of Arizona has signed an amicus brief, which is not joining the lawsuit, but is like a friend of the court or friend of the lawsuit brief that says that we stand with them. Arizona is one where Biden won. They're not named as a defendant in this case. They were left out of it, which is very interesting. They were left out of it by Texas. And then Arizona Attorney General has signed a friend of the lawsuit piece, making the case that they also want things to be done fairly and in accordance with the Constitution. So that's all happening. On the other side, the four defendants have had, on the Texas side, the president has also joined the lawsuit. He has filed an intervention in a brief that was written by the same lawyer who wrote the Texas lawsuit. And people know this because you can look at the metadata of who created files. It's not my specialty, but it's not a difficult thing to do. And the same person who wrote the Texas brief wrote the president's. And the Supreme Court doesn't look kindly on this kind of ghost writing. On the defendant's side, the four states, they've had, I know, at least a amicus brief by a whole series of former Republican officials, governors, attorneys general, who have signed it on their side in support of them and in support of their practices. So it's game time for this. And that's Mark Elias, the lead attorney for the defendants and for the Democrats on all their election litigation. Those were his words in the opening clip. I take part with what he has to say, but obviously the stakes here are so enormous beyond anything that you and I have ever seen that that there's anxiety. Yep.
It's disturbing that the Arizona would want to sort of have it both ways, to not question the integrity of their election process, which of course President Trump has questioned, but question other states in the in the union. It's just part of this sort of, as you say, bizarre and quasi legal justifications that are taking place. And you know, there's another interesting article in the New York Times. I keep telling you about these articles where somebody said, like, what's been the firewall in the end? It hasn't been any of the things we expected. It hasn't been the Justice Department. It hasn't been the Constitution's touted checks and balances. It hasn't been Congress. It's just been the integrity of the state elected officials. That's what has stood against this assault, and it is an assault.
Yeah, it is. It's absolutely an assault. It is civil war-ish. It is state versus state. There is a theme going around on Twitter about this being a new lost cause. The lost cause, of course, being the ideology of the Confederates, that they lost, but they lost this noble enterprise in fighting for their system, and that lost cause was noble and should be championed and trumpeted and took over really the country in terms of thinking about how race relations should be enacted, that we should prioritize these white Southerners, and that they were so valiant. That's the argument there, fighting for their, and there's gender dynamics written deep into this, that they were, these white men were fighting for their white women. In the Confederacy, that this is the new lost cause, that they're going to lose, Trump et al. Is going to lose, but that there will be this sense among the faithful that they fought to the end, they were valiant, and they were noble, and that they will all stand together in something that there'll be these statues to the Trump, to the Trump folks, to Ken Paxton in Texas, for sending this lawsuit up to the Supreme Court.
Wow. So, on the other side of the Alabama State Capitol, from that huge monument to the Confederate soldiers, right on the state capitol grounds. So on the other side, there'll be a huge statue of Donald Trump and all his Make America Great supporters surrounding him, below him someday, huh?
Yeah, you know, that's actually a good analogy, because yes, Steve, I think yes. Yes.
And of course, yes. The difference is that because they'll still be part of the system, and we've seen the strength of the Republicans through all this, though they don't tout it, you know, they won many seats back in the House. They seem to be holding the Senate at this point. Their legislatures are Republican all across the country. They'll be able to, just as they did with Jim Crow, I guess, they'll be able to implement laws and changes, and as you've talked about, voter suppression. Using the same sort of language of the lost cause and the noble cause.
Exactly. It's the new Jim Crow, or the next Jim Crows, around this time, specifically around voting, voter suppression. Jim Crow was about a lot of things, but focused around racial violence and intimidation. This one is going to be entirely about voting, and it's coming. Even in Georgia, where these Secretary of State and the Deputy Secretary of State and the Governor and the Attorney General have all stood against these lies, they are ready, standing fully ready to put into place the new voting suppression tools that are going to come even harder after this. So a couple of things on this lawsuit. One, Ted Cruz has been asked to argue this before the Supreme Court, if the court takes it. He's been asked by the president personally to do this. Yes, exactly. Lie and Ted, that's beautiful. Right. That he's going to do it, because you have to be a member of like the Supreme Court bar. You have to be in a special club to argue before the court. And Cruz is a member. That Cruz, I think, has argued close to 10, maybe 10 cases already before the court in his career. So Cruz is going to argue it. Another thing is that the sensibility among insider establishment Republicans who don't support this lawsuit, and that includes John Cornyn, a senator in Texas, and Jeb Bush, who both came out yesterday against it. The sensibility is that what this lawsuit really is a ticket to promotion in the Republican Party. That you don't not get on this train if you want to advance in today's Republican Party. That if you're a person with ambition, and of course all of these individuals are highly ambitious, that you join this crazy town train, because you have to be able to wear this as a badge of honor among Trump supporters and with Trump in the future, is using this as a litmus test, right, of whether you're with him or against him. On that point, in the House of Representatives, the U.S. House of Representatives, there is a process going on right now of getting Republicans to either sign on legally or to just to publicly join a petition to support this endeavor, and that Trump is closely monitoring who does or doesn't join that. Okay, this has become the ultimate cult kind of moment of you're either with us or you're against us. And it's not on policy. It's not on this war that's being fought elsewhere with U.S. troops. It's on whether you're going to join a lawsuit that is completely out of bounds. States do not sue states over election laws. If they did, we'd be suing every single state all the time. Washington could sue Georgia about anything, anytime, all the time. We can be deeply offended and think that what they do in another state is wrong, and we need to work towards that as an organization. But states don't have the legal power to sue other states around election laws. But in this case, joining this court, this lawsuit has become the ultimate, you're in with Trump or you're out and Trump will bury you moment for the Republicans. So the interpretation of the lawsuit is that what it really is it's just a declaration by these folks that they want to have a future in the Republican Party. And that's why they're coming on board.
I see. So Trump is the ultimate anti-clause. He's making a list and he's checking it twice. And he's finding out the ones who are naughty are the ones that are on his team. They'll get the presents. That's so that people really expect that Donald Trump will continue to control the Republican Party for some years to come.
I think this is becoming very apparent by the day here, that his treatment of people who are not with him, his hostility to Georgia officials who have been vocally supportive of him, but have stood on behalf of the rule of law at this time, his negative hostile treatment of them, his negative hostile treatment of anybody over the course of his 4 years as president who has broken with him. And then in this moment, the way that he is pushing officials around the country to either be with him or against or to stand down is made very clear that Trump is going to exercise iron-fisted authoritarian control over the Republican Party going forward. This is the bed they've made. This is the bed they have to lie in. If this is what they wish to do, then we know what our work to do is. We totally know what our work is to do on this. And it just makes all the more important that we beat the guy, because what he's doing with them is just what he was been trying to do with all Americans, saying you're with me or you're going to be buried politically. So like, as one example, his, you know, his kids are positioning to run. Lara Trump is looking like she's going to run for the U.S. Senate in 2022 in North Carolina. Donald Trump Jr. Is positioning himself to be a candidate. I think it's in New York. I'm not positive. To run as a candidate somewhere. So the reality, no, it's Pennsylvania. It's Pennsylvania. He might run for the U.S. Senate seat that's open in 2022 in Pennsylvania. This is, Steve, this is so bizarre, horrible. And at the same time, we're fighting and we're holding and we're I think, slightly winning on this, against this, in this battle.
Why? Because people have some moral integrity?
Why? We're winning because of the incredible mobilization against Trump and against this, and against his demagoguery and authoritarianism, that he got beat in the presidential election, that the Democrats did not have control of the House in 2016 after that election. Republicans had a 30, 35, 40 seat majority, and Democrats have a narrow majority, but they have a majority in the House of Representatives now. Democrats have gained several governor seats across the country. And yeah, we haven't made the gains everywhere on the state legislatures or as many as we'd like to have in the Senate, but we're making progress. And it's awakened, engaged, equipped body of folks who are working very hard. So why is it happening? Because of the activism and the energy on the Democratic and the left. Why do I think we're winning? Because of the gains we've made across the country. And the slow-moving coup, which I believe you haven't used that in this podcast episode, which yet, and I'm a little disappointed because we're like 20 minutes in and you haven't used it yet.
That's because now it's an attempted coup. Let's just call it what it is.
Sure. Is unfolding live in Technicolor in front of us. Yesterday, the President of the United States tweeted, hashtag overturn. 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 Let us never, ever, ever, ever forget this moment in American history. I'm calling it there. Today's the day. We got work to do in Georgia. We got work to do on our advocacy. And we watch and we work today.